How your luck be with you forever. Now, the gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us tonight, I've known for an awful lot of years. And I'm not going to tell you that when I met him, he carried a switchblade in his sock, because that would be true. But I wouldn't tell it publicly like this on him. And then he came to class a little while, and then I won't tell you that he dumped me and went on with somebody else, took classes from somebody else, and ended up, I don't know if all of you know about Harmony Grove or not, it was a spiritualist camp in Escondido. And he went there for quite a while, and I think that's where you got your ministry, is it?
Yes.
Yes. And he works for God. And of course he can't erase all the tattoos of his biker days. But he did get rid of the bike because somebody smacked into it and completely destroyed it. And then he had to get a car, so he got the first car that I ever knew him to have. He was always a biker. But you know, the man, wherever he went, even on his hardest days when he was hard on himself, he was still knew God and represented God. And the only one he was really hard on was himself. But he stopped that now, and he's just enjoying life and his world, and he has a son that's just wonderful, about 6'2" or something like that. Grown man, a wonderful young man last time saw him anyway. But with a dad like this, you thought I was going to say he'd be troubled to be a great man, but that's not what I was going to say. No, with a dad like this that loves him so dearly, he wants to put his life together. And he's doing it. He's never, never, never caused his dad a bit of trouble. And he's recouping now from, he had an accident too, didn't he? But this gentleman that I'm talking about is a wonderful man in my eyes. His name is Felice.
Yeah, now they got me in flower shirts and driving a car like that. It was funny how Spirit got me off the bike, because I've been riding ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and that's the only thing I ever drove. And so it was 1 week, I was driving down the road, and a flatbed truck hit me, went over. And they said, well, isn't it time to get rid of the bike? I said, no, not yet. I bounced back from that. That was no biggie. And then about 2 months later, it's going down 78, and this lady hit me from behind. And I went flying, cracked the helmet, cracked the tooth out, knocked the tooth out, fractured a little bit in the neck, 3 ribs, the hip, the knee, and the ankle. So that one tickled the owners a little bit, and that took a little bit of time to heal. Still healing from that. But that's okay. I can still stand up here and talk, too. And I'm still thinking about getting a bike for a Christmas present. But anyway, let's see how that one works out. Tonight I was thinking, or over the last couple days, about what would be a good topic to talk about. And the one Spirit came up with was excess baggage. And I thought, that's a really good one, because we all have that excess baggage that we carry around with us. You know, as we go through life, we acquire a lot of needless baggage. Our lives are often cluttered with all sorts of things, new or old, that we never use and will be impossible to find at different times. When we go on vacation, we choose and pick what we want to put in our suitcase. And then we go back through it again, and we look and see what we can use to make it a little lighter, or where we could find it when we want it. And I think that when we're in spirit, we design our life and everything we're doing and all that, and we're up there packing our suitcases. And then once we get down to earth, we're like tourists. We go, ooh, I want to buy that. That looks good. That looks good. And we start loading everything in there that we're not quite sure we need it or not, but it sounds good, that feeling, the thought pattern, whatever it may be. And so one of the pieces of luggage we often carry with us is worry. We go through life so loaded down with it, and we carry little else with us. We carry it with us at night before we go to sleep. We wake up with it in the morning. And sometimes it gets so bad, that worry, that it takes over our lives, and we keep thinking about everything else. How many times have you worried about something and put all that energy into it, and nothing ever happened? It just went on by, and you put all that time and energy into worrying about it. Another kind of baggage that we carry around with us is a heavy load of gossip. Still another thing that we carry with us is criticism. We go about criticizing, never saying anything good of anyone or anything, always ready to criticize everything we hear, sometimes fearing to meet people or look them square in the eyes because we realized we have been unkind or said some things unkind about them or someone they may know. You know, it could be with the TV because that's so plugged up with negativity. It could be with work, a worker, a co-worker, or whatever it may be. I was driving down the freeway one time, and this one lady cut me right off. And, of course, I went, you know, who the heck is she to cut me off like that? And da-da-da-da. Come to find out, I knew her. And she was going to the hospital. Instead of going and having a little sympathy and say, you know, that's okay. You may need to get someplace real fast. I went off in my own little world. And that was some of the baggage that I had to look at for myself and to walk through. And then sometimes we may find ourselves carrying a load of jealousy in our baggage, that green-eyed monster. After a while, that too becomes a very heavy piece of luggage to carry with you. Jealousy can lead into all sorts of unwanted energies, that infinite with the one's daily life, whether it's a relationship with friends or business or relationships. That's a big, we can get jealous over different things, and we carry with that. And those are all energies and thought patterns that we put into our body as we go through life. One piece of excess baggage we could rid ourselves of is egotism. Egotism leads to countless difficulties. An egotistical person has never been able to see that little circle which surrounds them, because they're too busy wrapped up in themselves and everything. And then some people are so sensitive that if they happen to see one or two people talking, they think they're talking about them. They can't imagine anyone talking about anything else but them. And on this one, I was going to share a little, I call this confession from the podium. I owned a studio, a martial arts studio. I owned a couple of them, actually. And when I got my first black belt, I thought I was the right hand of God. No one could touch me. And then as I grew and I got bigger and higher up in rank, I ended up with like 100 students. And then when I got my fifth degree, it was like I knew no one could touch me. I was riding right up there, way high. And then all that came tumbling down one day, and I lost everything. And then I would go to tournaments, and I thought for sure everyone was talking about me. I was the last thing on their mind that they were thinking about. But because of that, and with the egotism, and thinking I was all that, and then some, and a bag of chips, as they would say, that one was a difficult one to learn. Because with that one, my mom got sick, lost her, lost the studio. That was a rough time. That was a rough lesson. But through all that, I knew my teacher, spirit. I knew God was always there. So I got the wind knocked out of me a little bit. But I was able to get back up and to move forward. You may not say something out loud, but the unspoken word will go to the very soul of your body. And this puts everything into motion by the activity of the mind. You have to remember, you're the creator of your world. Everything you say, the mental impulse which puts it into motion, if you're constantly worrying, our body responds to that activity and does not function properly. You ever thought about that? With the energy and how much that holds? The bloodstream of life becomes clogged, and this has a physical toll on the body and the organs. The physical body is responding to the mental activity. Remember the old saying, watch your words, or watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your actions, because everything begins with a thought. It's not spoken word. Yes, it is powerful. But if people could see their thoughts and how powerful those were, when they go out, they would take a second look at it on what they're thinking. I know I do at times, because then sometimes when I'm thinking, then all of a sudden people turn around and go, oh, crap. They picked up on that energy and that thought. And this one here I put in because I just thought it was a nice little anecdote and I liked it. But there was once a traveler known as the Plague. He met another traveler on the way who said to him, where are you going? I'm going to kill 50,000 people. When the traveler was returning, he met again the Plague. And he said, you said you were going to kill 50,000 people, but I heard you killed 100,000. And the Plague said, or replied, yes, I did kill 50,000. The rest of them killed themselves by fear and worry. That's how much it takes a toll on the body. If you believe that you're going to get it or not going to have it, then guess what? That's what's going to happen. If you believe you do, that's what's going to happen. That's how powerful you are as divine beings. You should understand that the thought of fear manifests as an activity within the body, that every word of criticism you utter against others produces within you the very thing you criticize for another. I have a little trouble with my writing. Even if the word of gossip you speak produces an action within your body. So please be mindful of that when you talk to another or think of another. They may have stuff going on that you have no idea what a troubled life they have. And they could use a smile or just a hello or say a helping hand. That means a lot to people at times, especially when everything's down, that someone cares, because they think no one cares. But we do care. How much easier it would be if... Wait a minute. How much easier it would be to pack our mental trips with the necessary things that we use in life. What are the necessary things? Constructive thinking, love, sympathy, compassion, understanding of those we come to in contact with. Not only for them, but for us too, to have that for yourselves. And then I was thinking about it, and you go, okay, well, I have all these things in my bags. How do I get rid of them? I've been to classes. I've been to seminars. They talked about it. Got rid of a few things. But then when it came back up, it was right back there again. And I had the hardest time getting rid of it. Well, I'm going to share with you tonight a very simple technique that people pay thousands of dollars for a weekend seminar. And it's so simple. And that's the breath. Your breath. It's that powerful. Because, see, when you're a little bitty baby and a kid, teenager, young adult, you pick up all this baggage. And so, say for fear, you had something happen when you were a kid and that fear came in. You have a breathing pattern to that. So when that fear comes in or worry comes in, you have a certain breathing pattern that you picked up way back when. And your body remembers everything on a cellular level. So if you can be in the present moment and think about that and just change your breath and then put a happy thought in there, you're replacing that with the old. And you just took that baggage out because it's no longer in your body. It's no longer at a cellular level within the body. Because the body holds every injury, every thought pattern. But how we get rid of it? Real simple. Life is simple. It's with the breath. Your breath can do so many things. I learned that when the martial arts, and used to do with the red bricks. We put 5 red bricks. Come up with the breath. Hit the top brick. Send the energy traveling through, and it would shatter the bottom brick. And that was done with the breath. So when you have these things come up in your life, think about your breathing pattern. And I don't care if it's a short breath, a deep inhale, change it. And then put a happy thought there. You'll take that out. It also helps you being in the present moment and what's going on. Real simple technique, the breath. The breath is so powerful. There's so many insights to the breath. And you have it. How many times do you think about your breath or breathing? But there's a lot of power. There's a lot of magic in it. And there's one more that is very important too. And that is faith in God. For we are all the one heart and one soul of this journey called life. We're all connected on everything, even with the breath. I want to thank you for the time that you allowed me to speak and step in your energy, and many blessings.